This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
Hood is often disparaged, but this prophecy, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, says this, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." There is a curse upon our nation in some respect, because dads run out, because dads refuse to pay, because family breakups, because of brokenness and hurts that come into parents and children's lives, because of the breakup of the family. In some ways, there is a curse. But I want you to know that God brings men back home. God brings men back. As men come back to the Lord, as men return to the Lord, they come back from all the things they've been pursuing, whether it's working overtime or hanging out with their beer buddies or chasing after prosperity or chasing even after other women. When God gets a hold of a man's heart, he brings them back home and he turns their heart to their children. And the heart of the children then can be restored back to the heart of their father as they are drawn to their heavenly father. This very basic priority reassociation, this reprioritization of our hearts towards our home, towards our children, this is restoration with God and with family. And I want to tell you, there is nothing like family. There is nothing like family. So my text this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you turn there. Paul is talking about ministry, but he references fatherhood in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I just felt like the Lord would have me speak about this. Actually, I spoke this message, something similar to this, not too many years ago, but I feel like the Lord's given us sort of additional revelation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul's talking about his ministry. "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of the kingdom who calls you into his kingdom and glory." So this is a threefold, and I love threefold sermons. This is a threefold sermon on what it means to be a father. If your heart, if you're a saved man in this place, I want you to take these 3 points, and they're very simple. Take these 3 points and apply them to your life. If you're not a man here, you're a woman, or you're a single man, you don't have children, this still applies to ministry, the technique here. And so I want you to hear what it says. Number one, it says that the father heart encourages. You learn most about encouragement when you're low. You learn the most about encouragement when you're broken. You learn the most about encouragement when you're weak. You learn the most about encouragement when your vision is lost or limited, or when you're blind to the realities that are around you. Encouragement is a ministry that we all need. It's something that every single one of us needs, and our children need that. And we need to be able to pour into our children's lives and be able to give them this encouragement. We have to minister courage, the adding of courage into their life. That's what we're trying to do. Sometimes we get to a place where we are completely without courage. We are discouraged. The courage, the boldness in our life has been taken away because of circumstances. And we need the ministry of someone to come alongside of us. Especially children need that, because children are easily frustrated. And they can't see the realities. In order to be an encourager, you have to have a specific gift. You have to have vision beyond the present. You have to be able to see what the person you're encouraging cannot see. You have to have a vision beyond that. I'm going to use Seth and Ramona's house when Seth and Ramona walked in there, all they could see and smell was the house the way it existed, and it became overwhelming, and because it hadn't been updated, the decor hadn't been updated since the maybe mid-60s, late-60s, I'm not sure. It was hideous. And when you walk in there and you can't see that, but over this last week, they've been hanging drywall and they've been putting paint and primer on it, and they laid a wood floor in there, and Seth put trim up yesterday, and all these things have been because, and all along the way, there were times when they wanted to give up. Times when they said, this will never amount to anything. To be honest, there were times when their old man thought that this was never going to amount to anything either. But I walked in the other day and it was transformative. The place had changed because someone had come along in their lowest moments and said, keep going. You can transform this thing. I can see what you can't see. I can see that there's something greater beyond that. I can see that there's wholeness. I can see that there's healing. I can see that there's power if you just keep pushing forward. And that's what we are supposed to do. Fathers, that's what we're supposed to be doing in our children's life. We're supposed to be looking into their life and saying, I can see what you can't see. I can see what you can't see. Girl, that guy's no good for you. I can see what you can't see, son. She's no good for you. I can see what you can't see. That's a dead-end job. You're better than that. I can see what you can't see. You got to finish school and stick it out and keep working. I can see what you can't see. Those friends you're hanging around, they're no good. I can see what you can't see. You see, because in order to minister encouragement, you have to have vision beyond the person that you're encouraging. If you don't have any vision beyond the place where they are, then you need encouragement too. Now listen, there's no crime in needing encouragement. Every single one of us need to be encouraged. Every single one of us need to have someone to come and pour into our life. Paul says that his ministry was fatherlike in that he encouraged them like children. Fathers, we need to pour out into our children encouragement. We need to make it, not just when the opportunity comes, we need to make the opportunity to import courage into the lives of our children. We need to give that vision that God has put us in our life. When my son Matthew was a young boy, and I don't know how we knew, but we knew he was going to be a firefighter. And so every year for Christmas, it was his aspiration, but every year for Christmas, we gave him fire trucks. Cool ones. Some of them were awesome, weren't they, Seth? I mean, they had ladders that shot up, and they were remote control, and who doesn't like a remote control fire truck? I do. Every year, it was something. Every year, to keep the vision alive, you have to encourage. When Seth wanted to go to Bible college, we talked about Bible college. We talked about which Bible college. We talked about the very best Bible college in the whole world, which no longer exists, but we both went there. And so we talked. You have to encourage. You have to feed the dream. You have to find what they can't see. You also have to have compassion, because telling somebody that they're better than that is not enough. That vision that you have for their life has to be compassionate. You have to understand that they can't see that. That they're flying blind. That they're going to make mistakes along the way. That they're not going to be able to... Listen, when you're ministering to someone, whether it's your child or your neighbor or your friend or your coworker, you have to speak the truth to them. You have to give them vision. You have to see what you can see in their life. And you have to give that courage to them. But you also have to do it with compassion, understanding that they don't know any more about that issue, that thing that God's telling you about, than you did when you were in their place. My kids are light years ahead of where I was when I was their age. I'm grateful to God for that. You see, we can find that different vision. We can find that compassion. We can find that if we will understand that we have to have a different perspective than they have. You can't have the same perspective as they have and encourage them. You have to have a different perspective, a divine perspective. So parents, fathers, you have to pray over your children. You have to bend your knee and shed a tear and pray to God that He will enlighten your heart and show you what they cannot see. Let me give you 8 ways to encourage someone. Number 1, speak to them. Gracious words, gentle words, come speak and minister to the soul and the mind and the heart of the person who listens. Number 2, write a note or a card. Send them a note or a card, a thank you note or a card that you can bless somebody with. Number 3, be present. It says that God is present, and Seth referenced this earlier, that God is present when you're going through stuff. And we need to be the presence of God in someone's life. Number 4, by touching them. You don't know how much it breaks down. I was talking to somebody this week, and God's been doing some things in my life and showing me how to look into the eyes of people and care about them. And so God's been speaking that. And so I just put my hand on this person's shoulder. And as I put my hand on this person's shoulder, they began to weep. And we were just having a normal conversation. And I said, "But really, how are you?" And I put my hand on their shoulder. And just the touch is not because it was God's anointed touch. It was because it was a human being that cares for another human being. God forbid that we become a cold, organized church that has all its ducks in a row, but there is no love. That too is a sign of the end times when the church loses its love. Number five, you can encourage a person by giving to them. Sometimes you walk up to somebody and you slip them $10. It's very encouraging. Sometimes you help somebody out. Number six, you can encourage them by pitching in and helping. I know Seth and Ramona are grateful for all the people who came by and scrubbed and helped and painted and helped out. That's a very great encouragement when somebody's going through some stuff. You can encourage someone, number seven, by being hospitable, by inviting them in, by buying them a cup of coffee, giving them a cheeseburger, having them over. You can encourage somebody by prayer. Eight different ways that you can minister encouragement to anyone. But especially to your children, you can pray over them. You can help them with their homework. You can help them in grabbing a hold of the things. You can embrace them. You know, one of the great things that fathers can do for their children is take them one-on-one out to McDonald's and buy them a shake and some fries and find out what's really going on in their world. Because every time you ask them, they always say, "Nothing much," or "Life is boring," or "I hate school," or "My teacher's an idiot," or whatever they say. You can get beyond that with a mere investment of a shake and some fries. In fact, if you're really cheap, you can split the fries and split the shake and get away with that too. The Bible says that he who refreshes others himself will be refreshed in Proverbs chapter 11. That when you refresh another, I believe that applies to your children. When you give to your children, there will be a day when your children will give back to you. That as you refresh your children, you encourage them, you try to bring freshness upon them, that they will eventually encourage you. I just want to let you know, Seth, Ramona, that I may be moving in with you someday. Looking for a little payback on that. We need to be a part of the Barnabas Brigade. The people who are able to encourage. Barnabas, the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. We need to be those people. We need to be those kinds of parents. And fathers, you need to be that kind of father. The second thing Paul said that he was a father who comforted. Every child, every person goes through moments of brokenness, aloneness, and woundedness. There is no time or no person who's insulated completely from being broken. When we are broken, when we are at our lowest point, it is not the time to raise your voice and yell. It is not the time to say, "See, I told you so." It's the time to say, "I see where you are. Come on here, let me give you a big hug and let me help you along the way." Dads, we appreciate it when you do that kind of thing to us as young people. But we as fathers, we must be able to be the kind of people who know how to do that. In fact, the Greek word here is a word that means to console and to cheer up. In other words, in order to meet someone in their brokenness, you have to have empathy. You have to be able to be down there where they are. You can't, from the top of the mountain, dictate to someone in their brokenness. The only way to minister to someone in their brokenness is to get down there with them. And listen, it's dangerous down there. It's dangerous down there. I liken it to when you see a dog get hit by a car in the street. Tragedy, a dog runs out, the dog gets hit by a car. You can't help that dog from the curb. You can't help that dog unless you run out in the street. You can't help that dog unless you stick your arms out by the bloody mess of that dog and know that that dog will probably bite you because he's afraid that you're going to hurt him too. You have to have empathy. You have to understand this dog is scared. This dog is hurting. This dog is wounded. And so I have to go. And so if we would do that for an animal, why wouldn't we do it for our children? Why wouldn't we get down to where our children are and kneel with them at the side of their bed and pray about the things that they're going through in their own life. Fathers, that's a great father when you do that. And the other thing is, in order for us to not only just console them, to have this empathy, but we have to have the ability to lift them up and to cheer them up. And in order to do that, we have to have great perspective. And that's what we talked about just a few minutes ago. We have to have the ability to see beyond the circumstance. Perspective, I'm practical. I'm an emotional person, but when it comes down to emotion, sometimes I would just rather just go, let's go work and do something. Sometimes it's very therapeutic for me to just pitch in and start doing it. And so I'm a bad father when it comes to this, because my kids will say, Dad, this makes me feel this way. And I'll say, get over it. Let's go grab a brush. Let's go paint, you know, and because that's how I work stuff out in my life. You know, but fathers, we can be better fathers if we will just lift up our children by gaining perspective and sometimes just sharing your heart. You know, I can't sit here and cry buckets of tears about whatever's going on in my life. This is what I can do. What I can do is what I can do. And by God, I will do what I can do with what the energy that God gives me. That's the only thing we can do. There's practical ways to comfort. Don't wait for tears to start in the eyes of your children. Don't wait for them to break it down, and don't wait to try to find a place of total collapse. Rather, minister to your kids when you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When you look in their eyes, look into their eyes and see what God is doing in their hearts and minds. Stare into their eyes and ask the Holy Spirit quietly in your heart what's going on in their life. God will reveal to you that there's hurt or there's pain or there's trouble in their life if you would just look in their eyes. God is good about that. Fathers, you can see into the soul of your children if you just look into their eyes. Don't let a day go by without knowing what's really going on. As a father, I am blessed because I get peppered by phone calls from all my children every day. All my kids call me every day. It's really annoying sometimes. But I'm blessed because I talk to fathers who never hear from their children. And so I want you to remember that's an opportunity for ministry. Paul loved the children he had in the faith. Empathy is a great thing. It's a tremendously spiritual quality to look into your children's eyes and heart and know that you can provide right answers. But in order to do that, you have to know where they are. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn. There's this empathetic thing that the Holy Spirit does in your life. My wife has it in spades. We'll drive down the road and there'll be an accident on the side of the road somewhere, and I'm just trying to get through the traffic because, after all, we have places to go. But as we go down, she'll roll her window down, stick her arm out, pray over people that we don't know in car wrecks. We don't know what caused them. She'll pray over those people. And sometimes I think, hey, they deserved it. They're probably driving crazy or whatever. But she has this empathy, this compassion. What would it be like to be that mom and to be in that situation? We need that. We need that empathy in our hearts to be able to minister. We can learn from our wives with that. The third and final thing that the father does, a father heart urges a worthy life. Dad, your greatest ministry, the most profound lesson for every father to teach his child is this: for every action, there is a consequence. We all know people who've never learned this lesson. Adults that have never learned this lesson. Everything is someone else's fault. We all know people like that. I don't have a job because one never landed in my lap. Well, get off your butt and go find one. I don't have the perfect job. Me neither, but I got a job. So what we need to do is we need to speak that there is a purpose and a plan into the life of our children. We need to speak into their life and recognize that there's for every action, there's a consequence. And God, whether the consequence is negative or positive, God can bless your life if you'll just allow Him to infuse His Word into your life to drive drive you along in the circumstances. And so we as fathers plead with our children that they live a worthy life. Paul says it like this, comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God. That's a pretty tall order. In order for me to do that, I have to be experienced at living a life that gives honor and glory to God myself. It doesn't do any good for me to tell them what to do when I'm unwilling to do it. I have to have that experience. We all know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows the alternatives to a life of glory. You don't have to be a heroin addict to know being a heroin addict's not a good thing. You don't have to have been a drug addict to know drugs are no good for you. You don't have to, but we have to have this understanding that there are alternatives out there. Parents, every day your children are challenged by the alternatives to the lifestyle that you would like to see them live. Every day. And it's foolish for you to think that the world, with all its opportunities to twist and change and mold your children's life, it's foolish for you to think that in 1 hour on Sunday morning, somehow that's going to undo all that other stuff. You have to be, somebody said, well, you know, I think the church should raise our kids in this way. No, the church doesn't raise your kids. You raise your kids. I'm not going to ever stand before God for what your kids are doing. You will. You've got to take ownership of your children's lives. You've got to give them direction. And you have to beg them. You have to urge them. You have to encourage them. You have to say, son, don't walk that path. Son, don't go down that road. Son, turn back before it's too late. You've got to speak up. You've got to urge them to live a life worthy of the calling. You say, well, they'll just turn me off. Better to be turned off by your children than to unwittingly be a partner in sending them down the road to hell. We all know a guy. We all know someone who's done this or that or the other thing. We all know stories, and we can share stories with our children. This is what happened. I know a guy who did that, and this is what happened to him when he did that, and I don't want to see that ever happen in your life. We can go on and on and on, but we have to be pleading and urging our children to live a life worthy. I've seen a lot in 55 years. Seen an awful lot, more than I wanted to see. I shared this week with a friend. He said, you know, what do you think? You think I need to stop drinking? And I said, yeah, I do think you need to stop drinking. Totally? Yeah, I totally think so. Oh, you mean, do I think you should stop drinking totally? I do think so. Because you're out of control. And your liver enzymes are coming back negative, and you've got difficult things going on in your life, and you need to stop. You need to stop. You need to stop and get a grip on your life. There may be other people out there, I said to him, who can have a beer now and then or a glass of wine with dinner, and I'm not banging on them. If they can do that, but you're out of control, brother. You need to get a grip. If you don't know anybody and you don't know any stories, then you just need to watch the news. And when I go watch the news, it makes me want to go back and text all my family. Listen, don't do this. Don't text and drive. Listen, don't do this. Don't live a lifestyle that's this way. When I hear the news, I want to bring them into safety. Dads, you never lose that. You never lose that. You want to rescue your kids. There's not a dad in here who doesn't want better for his children than he had himself. It's the nature of humanity that we want our children to live a better life than we do. Oh, we want them to have some hard knocks and to learn those lessons we had to learn, but we want them to end up a little better than we do, to have it a little better than we did. Listen, that is lifelong. You never stop being a father. Even when they're old, even when you want to disown them, you can't. You can't. They're a part of you. So we find ourselves urging them to live a life worthy of the glory of God. In order to do that, I have to live my life as a recipient of grace. I have to live my life and aspire to such a life that will glorify God. I have to be a salesman. You know, somebody said to me, you know, what do you think about, you know, this thing with your grandchild? And I said this morning to them, I said, you know, I don't have an explanation for that. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. I don't make the management decisions. I just make the sales decisions. Sometimes I think the decisions up in management stink. But I'm in sales. Dad, you're in sales too. You have to sell the life of the kingdom to your children. They don't want to buy it. The most distinctive thing. I mean, Dad, if you wore long hair, leather pants, played electric guitar, and you know, could do leads like Jimi Hendrix everywhere you went, your kids would still not like you. They would wear bow ties and do swing dancing. They would not want to be like you. That's the way it is. It doesn't make a difference what you are, how cool you are. You think, I know when young fathers think, oh, I'll be the coolest dad. Yeah, the coolest dad to you, but not to them. And so you have to be in sales. You have to tell them, listen, I know I look like I'm an old square, but listen, I want to tell you there's benefits to this. You know, when somebody says to me, oh, you know, Pastor, you're just this, you know, fuddy-duddy old teetotaler. Yeah, I am. But I never go, whoa, man, I'm too sober. I never have that conversation with anyone. Whoa, last night I was so sober, I went to bed at 9:30. No, you know, never. I sell the benefits. I sell the benefits. So that headache you got, I ain't got one this morning. That's why I'm talking so loud. I live that. I live that in my life. I know how to sell. You got to sell the benefits of the lifestyle. For some, that's all it is. It's just a lifestyle until they get a real experience with God. But at least you can keep them physically around. We're here this morning, and we're talking on Father's Day, how to be a father according to the Spirit. Sure, there's more to being encouraging, and there's more to being comforting, and there's more than urging to live a worthy life. But if you do those three things, you will be a heck of a dad. You will be a heck of a dad. Unfortunately, not all of us had great fathers. Some of us in this room this morning, while God is ministering to us about fatherhood, we're having to let go of things that our fathers did to us, to forgive them. We're having to let go of father wounds. There's father wounds in all of us because none of us had a perfect father. And so we have to let go of those father wounds. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been abused by your father or neglected by your father or abandoned by your father. Don't let that haunt you the rest of your life. You've got to get beyond that. You've got to be able to say, I will be what my father was not to me. If you're a man here this morning and you did not have a good example of a father, then I encourage you to go to the Scripture and listen and see, read and see what Jesus was to his children and be that person to your kids. Your wife will be more in love with you than she ever has been in her life. What woman could turn down Jesus? He's drop-dead sexy. He is. Well, the Bible says he wasn't much to look at. He had no comely appearance, as it says in Isaiah 53. He wasn't much to look at, but he was patient, and he was kind, and he was good, and he was loving, and he was joyful. You just go through those gifts of the Spirit. Ladies, close your eyes. That's your fantasy. Pray that over your husband. Lord, give him the fruit of the Spirit. Give him the fruit of the Spirit. That's more sexy than a thong. That's as far as I'm going. In my day, thongs are what you wore on your feet. But anyway, so... My point this morning is that God has something powerful that He wants to do in the lives of us this morning. Father's Day isn't just about celebrating fathers. It's about getting over fathers. It's about fathers getting over and moving on and becoming what God wants for them to be. And we're going to go to the communion table in just a moment. But as we prepare our hearts to do that, I want to pray. Number one, I want to pray for fathers. Number two, I want to pray for those who have father issues, men or women in this place who have father issues, that God will help you get over those things. And then I want to pray, number three, for those that are aspiring to be fathers or about to be fathers or new fathers. Pray that God will give them the grace to live that life. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Father, I ask that You, the Father of all fathers, the God who for whom fatherhood is named, we ask, Father, that Your purpose, Your plan would be manifest in the life of the fathers in this place. May we be challenged by Your word to be better fathers this morning. May we be challenged by Your word to encourage and to comfort and to urge for a worthy life. May we be challenged by Your word, Lord God. Some of us have come so far, Lord, but may we not say, I've come far enough. Some of us, our children are grown and we have regrets, things we should have taught them. God, help us to forgive ourselves. Some of us, Lord, we're in the last few years of raising our children and we're overwhelmed, Lord, because we're trying to make up for lost time because we didn't always live for You, Lord. But now You've turned our heart back towards home. You've turned our heart back towards our children. I pray, Lord, for fathers and sons and fathers and daughters that need to be reunited. I pray in Jesus' name that You will work a reuniting work in their life, Lord. As a sign of Your kingdom, that You will bring there a unity, Lord God, between father and son and father and daughter. I pray that there would be a tight bond, Lord. What You have created, what You have brought together, Lord, let that not be cast asunder by the work of the devil, Lord God. May no threat in the world ever pull our children away from us, Lord. I think we can all say, Lord, that we want our children to serve You with all their heart, Lord. And so, Father, we pray that you would watch over them. We pray now, Father, for dads that are missing or gone from our lives. In Jesus' name, we forgive them. In Jesus' name, by faith, we forgive that abandonment. We forgive that failure. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those fathers that were imperfect. Give us a heart to forgive. Restore relationship, Lord, if it's possible. I pray that You would heal father wounds in the hearts of men and women in this place, Lord. Bring them to the place of restoration and grace. May they not live with that thing in the shadow of their life all these times, all these days, all these weeks, all these years. May they move beyond that. Bring them to the place of acceptance where they can move beyond, they can accept what happened in the past, not as right, but just as fact, and move forward and live for Your honor and Your glory. Live a full life. I pray, Lord, for those that are living half a life, Lord. They're living a broken life. They're living a shattered life, Lord, because of something that happened in the past. I pray in Jesus' name that You will break that off of their life this morning. That You will break, as they release this, I pray that You will bring them into fullness and wholeness and completeness in Jesus' name. Bring them whole, a whole life, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, for fathers who have failed and fathers who are gone and fathers who have wounded. This morning, Lord, may we all come into the relationship with You as a true, loving Heavenly Father. We look in our own hearts, we see that we have failed you as well, Lord. And so this morning, as we prepare our hearts to come to this communion table, would you bring us humility?
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.berwinag.org.